Let's bring in Matt Lodi, NEO Sports Insiders, to talk about the Tribe and just how the heck they have climbed within a half game of the White Sox in the division. Matt, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, Sam. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on today. Hey,
anytime.
Man, if you'd have told me this back in spring training, I'd have signed up for this any which way. The Indians have done more than, okay, well, let's just stay around the 500 mark and not be embarrassed. And I know it's early, but hey, why not be in first place around this time of the year and get some momentum going?
Yeah, and you know, really the thing you got to look at, Sam, in my opinion, is you got to win 3 out of 5. And then that's kind of what they've done here in this latest stretch. Now, obviously, you know, they went to Chicago and won 3 out of 4, which is fantastic, against a White Sox team that, you know, really had been pretty well on fire over the course of the last couple of weeks. They've started out really fast. Of course, Chris Sale, Quintana yesterday, the Indians got to both of those guys. And that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot about, I think, the maturation process of this offense. Because really, to me, the way that this offense has finally started to come around a little bit is the reason why they're winning games. The pitching, we all sort of knew was going to be there, even though that's had a little bit of ups and downs because of the injuries to Carlos Carrasco, you know, Trevor Bauer coming back into the rotation. Cody Anderson has been such a huge question mark, even though he had a really good outing in that second game of the doubleheader the other day. So, to me, though, it's been mostly about how this offense has really started to finally produce and get some key hits at key times. And, you know, I guess there's a couple of players that you can look at. Number one, of course, is Jose Ramirez. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a guy who's really come out of nowhere to be such an integral part of this organization as far as not only being able to play a couple different positions, but he's come up with some big hits already this year. And I think Yan Gomes finally starting to hit a little bit better, too. You know, of course, he had that weird play yesterday, the throw. But at the same time, you know, he's going to hit the ball. And I know when we talked to Terry Francona about it, he goes, look, you know, I know the guy's only batting, you know, around the 200 mark right now. But at the same time, he's got a lot of RBIs, got a couple home runs. That's a guy you want to see hit the baseball for power, for RBI. You know, if he can hit 250, I think they'll take that, as long as he's driving and runs at the bottom of the order. So, you know, Kipnis and, you know, those other types of guys at the top of the order, of course, Francisco, those guys, you know, are expected to get the job done. But as far as those other guys, again, Yan Gomes, Jose Ramirez, every once in a while, a guy like Uribe, Alani Chisinau, who had that key triple the other day to start him off, those are the guys that you need to look at to get those big hits at key times of the games.
You know what? I got to go to Josh Tomlin. I mean, holy cow, oh, Matt. This guy has been unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been consistent, Sam, and he's just a good pitcher. I mean, you know, and we saw this a little bit before the Tommy John surgery. I mean, there was a season, I want to go back to like 2011 or 12, I'd have to look at the exact numbers, where he started out, I believe he was 6-1, mm-hmm, or maybe 5-0, something around those lines. And he was having the same type of season that he was having this season. He doesn't walk guys, you know that. He doesn't strike out 8-9 guys, but he'll get 3 or 4 strikeouts a game, which is just fine. And he may have one inning where you'll see him give up a 2 or 3 spot, but for the most part, he's going to keep you in game. And that's really the type of guy that you want. And I'll tell you what, the fact that he's in the back end of the rotation, of course, now that rotation's all screwed up because you've got rainouts and doubleheaders and everything else, but the fact that he started at the back end of the rotation kind of helped him, I think, sort of ease into this role to where really right now he looks like the ace of the staff. I mean, you know, Kluber had a nice day yesterday, of course, and you're always going to say Corey Kluber's your ace. This is a Cy Young Award winner. But man, oh man, if you can get a guy like Josh Tomlin winning 12, 14, 20 games out of the back end of your rotation, I think you're in a very, very good position.
You know, watching this team from day one and the coming through the cold games and finally getting some nice weather and the bats started to come alive, then they dipped a little bit, then they kind of caught fire here lately. And through it all, Tito has kind of been the guy, the captain of the ship, to make sure everything was settling and giving pats on the behind when they needed them. And gosh, I can't imagine, and maybe somebody else is out there, I don't know. But, Matt, I can't imagine somebody other than Tito, you know, being the commander of things going on here the last couple of years, especially this year with the fact that they really needed to grind it early and stay above water and maybe play some plus baseball. He's done a magnificent job coasting them through here so far.
Yeah, I mean, in covering this team the last 20-plus years, I mean, I've gone through, you know, the Mike Hargroves to the Charlie Manuels to the Manny Actas, the you know, Eric Wedge and everything. I mean, I've been through all those guys. And I'd have to say out of all of those guys, Terry Francona has been the most even keel, consistent guy. I'm not going to say he doesn't every once in a while get a little perturbed and sure. kind of, you know, make you feel like the goof that you might be if you're asking a bad question. But for the most part, Sam, he's just a good manager who doesn't get too high or too low. And, you know, the one thing about Terry is I swear sometimes even just as a reporter, you know, you have an investment in this team. You know that. I mean, you're there every night. You see these players on a daily basis. And, you know, after a tough loss, say, you know, back in the day, a Chris Perez would give up a two-run bomb in the ninth inning, and you'd lose a game. I remember one specific game to Detroit a couple years ago when this team needed a couple wins. He gave up a ninth-inning home run, and it was that series in early September that kind of ended the season, if you will. They lost four in a row over Labor Day, and that was it. I remember specifically after that game, you go down to the locker room, and you're just defeated. And here's Terry basically being like, hey, it was a tough loss, but you know what? We get to do it all over again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, that's the attitude I think more managers should take. I mean, you know, I know that it kills these guys when they lose. I mean, they're all so invested in it. I would never say that, oh, managers don't care. But, you know, Terry's got that attitude of like, look, we can't do anything about it. Why should we sit here and be depressed about it? It's going to hurt for a couple of minutes. But, again, we can come back tomorrow and make it right. And I think that that's what this Indians team looks to as far as from a leadership role. And, you know, again, there's going to be nights when guys like Cody Allen or Brian Shaw or Zach McAllister is going to give up some late runs and lose a game for a guy like a Kluber or maybe eventually a Tomlin. But right now, all the buttons are being pushed correctly, and it is fun to see how this thing has come together. I mean, hey, if Kansas City beats Chicago tonight, this team will come home tied for first tomorrow with this long homestand, and it's going to be a fun homestand. You've got great weather. I know that everybody's Cavalier fever right now, but you got some great weather, and you've got three teams coming in Baltimore, Texas, and Kansas City that, you know, the Indians could play with these teams. There's no question about it. I mean, they're not bad teams, but I think it'll be three fun, good teams to see down at Progressive Field. I hope the fans come out. I was a little perturbed when I saw that this team is once again ranked last in attendance. I really hope this fan base starts to look at this team a little more seriously, because I think you've got a nice ball club on your hand, and you got a nice ballpark, so I don't know what people are waiting for. And you can't complain about the weather anymore. You can't complain about, you know, the not having the kids in school because you got a long weekend. So I hope people come out to the ballpark and start getting a little more invested with these guys right now.
Hope so. Baltimore comes in 26-18. The Indians 25-20. Series starts tomorrow night, 7:10. And this will be our first I think we still have one more 6:10 game for the month, and then we're
we do. Yeah, actually, we're going to be playing on Memorial Day at 6:10 against Texas, and then also the 2 days after that. We won't start the 7. I think the way they're doing it, Sam, is because this homestand, they don't want to do it in the middle of a homestand. It might confuse people.
Right.
I think they're going to start the 7:10 games officially for the rest of the year when they're not 4:05 or 1:05 on the weekends or the noon games, which we do have a couple of those during the week. I think the 7:10 starts officially begin next Friday, and that'll be for the rest of the season. I think even next Thursday against Kansas City, even though that's technically June, is still a 6:10 game. I'd have to look, but I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that. So if you got tickets for any of these games, whether it be the Texas game on Memorial Day or any of those games during the week next week, I think those are still 6:10 games. And then on Friday, the Kansas City series, the second game of the Kansas City series, you go to a 7:10 game. And then from there on out, it's up to 7:10.
Very good. Matt Lodi joining us, Northeast Ohio Sports Insiders, NEOSportsInsiders.com. Check him out. Does a great job, as I mentioned, over 20 years covering this team. Matt, let's talk about injuries now. It's been really quiet with Brantley and Carlos. What can you tell us about their comeback, so to speak?
Well, you know, Brantley had the shot in the shoulder not that long ago. It was kind of one of those give and take things where they felt like giving him a shot would, you know. And again, I sort of can feel his pain because I just recently had another back shot where you kind of, it's an angry nerve is what it is, and that's what's going on in Brantley's shoulders from what we're being told. It's kind of one of those, you know, what would you say? It's an inflammation, I guess, if you will, and you get these shots because you hope that the inflammation will slow down, and that'll be give you the ability to do the rehab you need to do, the icing, you know, the light swinging maybe, or the light movement, you know. So I think Brantley's still probably going to be another week or two away. I mean, it might be a little bit sooner, but again, I think, and the key word here is what Terry Francona told us about this last stint on the DL. When he said this, it really resonated with me. He does not want Michael to come back and just be back for 2 weeks and then have to go back on the DL. Mm-hmm. He wants him back the rest of the year. So So what that tells me, Sam, is that they're willing to wait this out a little bit longer. First of all, the team is playing pretty well without him, let's just be honest. I know that you want him in the lineup and you want him to be healthy, but you know what? If you're winning baseball games and you're winning series without him, let him heal so that way when he comes back for good, because you could just see in his swing, you could see in the way he was hitting the ball, it just wasn't comfortable for him up at the plate. And listen, he's such a competitor. I know he wanted back in the worst of ways, but I think you're probably looking at about another 10 days to 2 weeks for him to get back. And as far as Carrasco goes, you're kind of in the same boat. You know, they don't want to rush him back. They're having success with guys like Clevinger. I think they were really encouraged by what Cody Anderson did in the second game of the doubleheader the other day. I think you're probably looking around the same time frame, maybe another week longer with Carlos. But, you know, again, the fact that he's on the bike, the fact that he's moving around better, the fact that the hamstring isn't giving him a ton of pain, again, they'll get him back, and he'll be just fine when he comes back. I don't think this is going to be something that's going to be a year-long thing. I think if there's a guy you need to be, I don't want to say concerned about, but more concerned about one or the other, it would be Brantley, just because, you know, that was a surgery and that requires the certain amount of healing. So they're hopeful that this shot, you know, that he did get, what was it, about a week and a half ago, whatever it was now, will take the inflammation away to the point where he can get back to rehab. And again, you're looking at 10 days or 2 weeks.
Matt, Lonnie Chisenhall, is he starting to come out of it right now, or is this just one of those typical flashes that he puts on every once in a while?
Well, you know, I can't say for sure. You never know with him. But you know what? I like what I see from a just the way that he's approaching it. You know, and the one thing about Lonnie that people have suddenly forgotten about is this is a guy that was, you know, obviously had a great August last year, September, August, whatever it was. And then, you know, I think he was, you know, sometimes it takes you by surprise when you play that well and then all of a sudden you're like the man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You just said, hey, you were the guy and you're going to be the guy. And then I think the injury in spring training really, really derailed him. You know, he got hit on the forearm and it really just, it kind of threw him for a loop. He didn't look right after that. He didn't hit well after that. He just didn't look comfortable after that. You know, and I think it really bothered him because I think a lot of people were like, oh, this is the same old Chisenhall. At the same time, I think you got to give him a little bit of his due. I think that, you know, you're seeing him come out of the slump in a big way. I mean, he had that triple the other day that got this team going in the one game against Chicago. And, you know, what I like about Lonnie is, again, he kind of reminds me as a player of Terry Francona from the standpoint of he's pretty even keel. You know, he does beat himself up a little bit now and then, but for the most part, Sam, he's a pretty good guy to deal with from the standpoint of he knows that, you know, they're counting on him to be a big part of this offense. And I know, you know, Terry has talked about it too. The big thing with Lonnie is you're starting to see him go the other way a little bit at the plate. You're starting to see him drive the ball a little bit. I think the forearm is feeling better. I know that I heard an interview with him the other day after the win, and he said he finally feels like he's getting, if he's not 100%, he's right about there. And I think that's the big thing, because you know how it is. When you're feeling better, you tend to play better. And obviously, I think finally for Lonnie, this is his time to finally start feeling better and playing better.
Good stuff. Matt Lodi, NEO, Sports Insiders. Check him out. Matt, let's keep it going. Let's get some butts in the seats this weekend downtown. What do you say?
You got it, my friend. Hopefully, we can only throw it out there so many times.
I know.
Fans finally get on board. And, you know, it's funny. I'm in the local grocery store, and I see a shirt that says, let's party like it's 1964, you know, trying to get on the bandwagon of the Cavs, you know, trying to break this 52-year streak. Well, listen, you got two good opportunities. Obviously, the Cavs are a much better one right now, but this Indians team, don't fall asleep on this team. This is going to be a fun team to watch over the next 4 or 5 months.
I think you're right, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime,
Sam. There you go. Matt Lodi, NEOSportsInsiders.com.